You're listening to Ask a Black Doctor, Friday Facts About COVID-19 featuring Dr. Bukasi Dubé. Join us every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. for a half an hour as we discuss issues surrounding the current pandemic, vaccines and distribution, dispel myths, provide facts, and address concerns. We'll also be providing updates about COVID-19 vaccines and discuss how we can build a better culture around Black health. Episodes will be available wherever you listen to podcasts, so head on over to thenumbers.fm for the link to the show. Now let's jump into it. I want to thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Ask a Black Doctor. I'm DJ Ambush here with Dr. Bukasi Dubé. How are you doing today, sir?
Man, I am doing well. I am doing well. It's been an interesting week, but I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Recording from home today. Just need to take a break from the office. The weather's pretty good. I might, I might take a walk or two. You know, it's suggested.
thumbs up to exercise.
Exactly. So this week we are basically doing a part two to keeping safe during Omicron. I did receive an email this morning, and I think it ties into some of the things we were already talking about before, the different stages of immunity and, you know, how to achieve that. But the part that was like that jumped out to me was the phrase super immunity. And I remember we talked about some previous episodes where we talked about in the previous episodes where people, you know, they hear certain phrases, they hear certain words and they start running with it and creating a new definition for it. So like being triple vaxxed
was one of them.
All that is you're caught up on your vaccinations. That's it. There's no three layers of protection that you're getting with this concept of being triple vaxxed. But can you speak to super immunity?
Yeah, that's a good question. And we've been hearing a lot about it in the media, right? Because with this whole idea of Omicron taking us to the promised land, I use that in quotation marks, right? meaning everybody's been talking about, are we ever going to reach herd immunity? And so the conversation is shifted a little bit from talking about this concept of herd immunity to talking about super immunity, meaning that if you're triple vaccinated, triple vax, like we were talking about earlier, meaning that you have your primary series and you have your booster, and then on top of that, you get Omicron. Mm-hmm. Because right now, if you get infected, more than likely it's Omicron, right? 99.9% of the infections that are sequenced, we're finding out that it's due to Omicron. So being developing this super immunity is due to getting Omicron on top of having vaccinated with being triple vaxxed. And so it's essentially getting a booster shot with Omicron, but unfortunately it comes with the possibility of getting sick. Yeah. And obviously the unfortunate possibility of ending up in the hospital, even dying from it. With that, it's a good segue to talking about where we are as a state and what's going on in the country, right? And in globally with COVID-19. And when we talk about COVID-19 nowadays, it's all Omicron, right? Mm-hmm. So currently we have a little over 1,000 people that are hospitalized who are positive with COVID-19. This is here in our state, in Oregon. Okay. And that's really sad, given that this is still somewhat preventable illness. Our test positivity rate is coming down a little bit. It was high. It was in the high 20, it was about 28% or so. But those numbers are probably a little off because there are a lot of people who are testing at home, right? Okay. And so those numbers, we don't have a good way of capturing the positive tests that are occurring at home, or even the negative tests that are occurring at home, right? So our test positivity rate is going to be a little off, but a test percent means that there are a lot of people out there who are infected with COVID-19. But we're hoping that we are beginning to get to the to the high point of this Omicron surge, right? The predictions were by mid-February, we should have reached our peak. Hopefully that's true. And hopefully we'll start to see a cresting of infections by then.
So the fact that Omicron is a dominant strain right now, what is happening with the Delta strain? As strains become more communicable, do they subdue the other strain? Is it that the other strain just gets worked out of the ecosystem? How does that work?
That's a very good question. I like that. The Delta, for example, gets essentially wiped out of the ecosystem, like you said. It's no longer spreading in the population. The main variant that's spreading becomes whatever it is. In this particular case, it's Omicron. The same thing happened, right, with the Alpha variant. Mm-hmm. When Delta came on, and Delta was more transmissible, and it took over. And prior to that, the original strain was taken over by Alpha, and so it's constantly happening as this virus continues to mutate and form new variants that, in some cases, unfortunately, are more transmissible. The more transmissible variant will inevitably take over.
Are there any dangers of previous variants coming back? I remember, just in comparison between the Delta variant and the Omicron variant, the Omicron variant, yes, is more transmissible, but the symptoms are milder than the Delta variant. Is there a possibility that the Delta variant could still come back later?
It would have to be a new version of the Delta variant. Okay. And I think at that point, we wouldn't be calling it Delta. It would have its own new name.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But okay. It could be a version of a Delta variant. Actually, even if it were to come back, if it's similar enough to Delta, but it's more transmissible, it could be Delta Plus or Delta 2 or whatever new name we give it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're talking about super immunity, which is you being all the way caught up with your vaccinations and then possibly still catching Omicron and
getting,
like you said, that extra layer of boosters. How different is, and then we're talking about cresting around mid-February. So is that leading us to the conversation of herd immunity that was talked about, I believe, way too early? It was a part of the conversation way too early. Is cresting similar to that, basically?
It's similar to that. So cresting in this particular case, when I use the that term, it just means that we're reaching our peak of infections in the community. Okay. Our projections, and when I say our, I mean OHSU and OHA, the modeling team, the EPIs, are telling us that it'll be mid-February when we reach that point. It's interesting, though, that in the last 24 hours, we've seen a rapid decline. I mean, we saw cases fall by almost 4,000, maybe due to reporting issues. I mean, we went from 11,000 cases a day 3 days ago to 7,000 cases a day, roughly, yesterday. So I suspect it's due to reporting issues and home tests being more widely available, and people are not going in to get tested. So we'll see. It could be that we are at that point now, and we just don't recognize it. It takes a while for these numbers to catch up, but we'll see. Time will tell. Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. I think home tests are playing a huge factor. I'm not sure if the test that we requested from the government has already started going out yet, but I do know there has been an increase in availability of tests, both tests online and N95 masks.
Yeah, I think that's a big win. It's something that I was hoping that the federal government would step in much earlier with this, making home tests uh, more more widely available. There was actually there were a group of us here in Oregon that were advocating for this back in April, May of 2020. And there was there's a Harvard infectious disease doctor and epidemiologist, Dr. Michael Minow, who made the concept very, very popular, so much so that everybody was calling it the MENA approach, even though here in Oregon we were talking about that before MENA made it very sexy, so to speak.
right.
Yeah. So speaking of free tests, right, you can get those free tests at covidtests.gov. That's a place where you can get them. And number as well that you can call. I don't have that phone number on me right now, but there's a phone number you can call to get those free tests. And I will say this again, I like what DJ Ambush said last week about getting these tests to folks. I think that actually works much, much better. Actually, DJ Ambush and Dr. Bonner shared this with us last week.
Yeah. When you were talking about this in 2020, at-home testing and getting this out to the public, what was some of the pushback back then? Do you think, was it more or less like the medical community or those, you know, in charge feeling like we would botch the test at home, or it would affect, you know, the data?
Well, so the honest truth is a lot of things were happening then, and we didn't know as much about COVID-19 as we do now. And the paternalism that people complain about in medicine, right, is also at play, where clinicians at times feel as though patients, they know better than patients, and patients are not at times to be trusted to do certain things. That was part of I think what informed people who would be called naysayers on this front. But the honest truth is, what I'm grateful for is that we are now there, and we now have these tests readily available. The other thing is, those tests were not readily available then, and they were not as reliable as they are now.
Okay.
So we had, yes, even though some of us were advocating for that, we were still not at that place to readily make them available. And the federal government hadn't pumped enough resources into making these tests widely available.
Gotcha. Okay. I do want to remind our listeners, as you start to see the results of basically the impact of us testing at home, and you start to see those results show up in the data of what's being reported, like, understand that it's not that the numbers are dropping drastically.
Yeah.
Reporting has changed because now we're all testing at home. I did see a test. There's some tests that work with apps now. So you do the same testing procedure, and then you scan it, and then it saves to an app. I'm hoping that those particular types of tests are relaying the information to the CDC. Yeah, that would be helpful.
Yeah. I think we do have an app like that here in Oregon where it captures all that data, but it's up to the manufacturers and the states to work together and of course the CDC to work together to make sure that we're capturing all this data. This is where technology, I mean, it's amazing. When I was in high school, I couldn't even dream about, you know, having a computer in my pocket, right?
No, it's unbelievable. And now we're so used to it.
Yeah, we can't live without it.
Yeah, and then at the same time, we're fighting Dr. Google. So, and Dr. Instagram. So, okay, things are going to start opening back up. We're about to be done with winter soon. How safe is it to go out in public? I did hear, I am seeing that, you know, it's been communicated that cloth masks just aren't as effective in Omicron as they were in previous variants. And that the suggested mask is a KN95 or N95. I think I saw something about N94s. Can't remember the letter designation that goes with that, but that has four layers of protection. And yeah. Then also we talked about in the last episode how they are reusable. You can, so I made steps at the station now. I was very, very grateful that the prices dropped on KN95s and they're now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we bought 100 or two. About 200 for the station. I told everyone take three or four so they can do that rotation that you told me about in the last episode. So, you know, you can go home and, you know, have that throughout the week. So how safe are we moving forward, heading back into public places if everyone's using the KN95?
So the KN95s and the N95s are very, very, very good respirators, right? They're very good at preventing 95% of stuff that we encounter in the environment. Okay. So it's very, very important that we transition to using these. And thankfully, the prices have dropped significantly. I think nowadays you can get them for about 95 cents or even $1, $1 a mask. That's amazing. Cause back in the day, I mean, I remember there were $5 a mask.
Yeah. I mean, that's cost prohibitive. 2 weeks ago. Yeah. They were really expensive. Yeah.
Yeah. So kudos to the manufacturers that have upped their game in terms of making these masks more readily available.
Yeah.
So in terms of safety, right, you still have to practice the COVID protective behaviors to make sure that that you're safe. So wearing masks, wearing your KN95 or your N95 mask, outdoors is always better than indoors. Avoiding large crowds, avoiding spaces where you're going to be, like I said, outdoors is better than indoors. If you're going to be indoors, avoiding spaces where there's a lot of taking off of masks and, or people yelling or people, I was talking to a friend over the weekend and she was telling me about what's going on in LA and how a particular health system is thanking their employees by giving them tickets to the Kings games at the Staples Center, right? The irony of it is, I understand that they're trying to thank their healthcare workers. I understand that they're trying to show appreciation, but at the same time, they should have maybe had somebody from public health weigh in on whether or not that's a good idea. If the idea is to get a super immunity among their staff.
Sure.
I'm just joking.
Right. Wow. Yeah, the optics on that.
I would definitely not recommend anybody to do that.
Please don't.
And so the other things that make sure that you can do to make sure that you're safe is, 6 feet distancing from those that are not part of your household, good hand hygiene, all those things, they still work for preventing the spread of this highly contagious, highly transmissible variant.
Right. And it's not just a matter of wearing the masks. Guys, it's about wearing it properly. So, hanging off one ear or just covering your mouth. It's not an accessory. It's not a fashion accessory. Please make sure you're covering your nose and mouth properly. I run into some trouble sometimes because of the beard. I have to, constantly make adjustments to make sure it's on there tight. And the N95s are pretty good, even with the beard covering over everything really, really well. Yeah. So it's also important, too, as we're talking about, our children being in school. I mean, children in school spread germs, period. That is just part of having a child in your household, whether it's Delta, Omicron, the flu, a cold, anything. Kids spread germs. So I think it's important to double down on cleaning surfaces, remembering, to do that. Doorknobs, tables, handles, light switches. There's so many other things out here on top of COVID-19 that we're dealing with. Just, you know, staying clean, staying safe, keeping the same protocols. Yeah, very, very important.
So speaking of schools, I was talking to the school where my daughter goes. She's a high schooler, and she, the head of their COVID response team was telling me about their weekly testing and their vaccination rate. So the high school has a, 96-97% vaccination rate in the high school.
That's amazing.
And their test positivity rate is 2%, and has been 2% for a while now. They haven't had to shut down at all this academic year due to one, high vaccination rates, two, the good COVID protective behaviors that they've been instilling in the kids. That's truly amazing. And when I see outbreaks happening at various other schools in the Portland Metro, it saddens me knowing that they don't have the same vaccination rates, and that kids are having to miss out on activities due to us adults not being at the forefront of this. I mean, encouraging vaccines for our teenagers, if we have teenagers or younger, and ensuring that, you know, kids have adequate information and knowledge about what's going on with regards to COVID-19.
Yeah, I mean, that's an awesome situation. That's a nice model for society in general.
Yeah.
I mean, we are watching parents complain about, you know, the kids having the ability to be in school and make sure they're socialized properly and can resume classes normally. But at the same time, you're fighting mask mandates and you're fighting vaccine mandates. But in a situation where everyone is on the same page, here it is. The kids are in school. They're safe.
Yeah.
No one is exposed. There's no breakouts. That is amazing. That's really, really good. I am seeing some things popping up in the news about some of the local businesses taking it upon themselves to shut down when, you know, the numbers are getting too high. And really, because Omicron is so transmissible, it's really about losing employees, you know.
You know,
just resources being short, human resources being short across all industries. We talked about it happening within the medical community. How you guys have to be super safe if anyone tests and everyone just stays home. It's not like a cold. This is much more severe. And I'm encouraged by seeing small business owners doing the exact same thing and putting those signs up on the window saying, hey, listen, too many members of my staff are out. We have to shut down and you know, keep you protected, keep you safe.
Yeah, it was sad to see the Supreme Court rule against the mandate, the Biden vaccine mandate for companies greater than, with employees more than 100. I think that was a very misinformed decision on their part. And I also think it's also unfair for something like that to go to the Supreme Court. These are individuals who, one, there's no precedent for that in the courts, right? Mm. Two, these are individuals who don't fully appreciate the impact of their decisions, at least as it pertains to public health.
Right.
So not only do they get the decision wrong, that decision will lead to a lot of people getting sick and a lot of lives being lost as a result.
Yeah, you're right. They are insulated from a lot of this.
They're in an ivory tower, and it's like men in the high castle who has no clue what's going on the ground.
Exactly. You mentioned earlier people can go to covidtest.gov. You can also find local testing locations at getvaccinated.oregon.gov or call 211. Please make sure that you find a actual testing site. There have been reports of fake testing sites in our area, and those sites are being used to just gather people's information. So please make sure you're going to an actual testing site. If you don't feel safe or you feel like they're not handling the test professionally, please make someone aware. contact the authorities. We don't want people out here misleading us and making us feel safe when we actually aren't. I mean, imagine there was a young woman, a reporter, going to one of these sites and was told after waiting 15 minutes that her test was negative. And then she didn't feel too safe. Like something just seemed off about the testing site and was able to go and get tested somewhere else and ended up being positive, her and her whole family. So, we got to make sure we are getting reliable information and going to the right places to get the things that we need. There are some local vaccine events coming up this Saturday from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. The Rosewood Initiative. Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, February 8th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Highland Haven. And then Tuesday, February 22nd from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. again at Highland Haven. All this information will be in the body and in the description for the podcast episode. Are there anything else you want to leave our listeners with this week, Doc? Anything else we didn't cover?
You know, we're coming up to the anniversary of when the pandemic started here in Oregon. We're going to have an episode about that coming up. Just want to remind folks that we're still in the midst of it. We're still experiencing the worst surge that we've experienced as a state. So just let's all remember that we're in this together. I know that we're all tired. I know that we're all, we all want to go back to what it was like in November of 2019. But unfortunately, we still have this pandemic to contend with. So let's continue protecting ourselves. Let's continue protecting each other. And hey, if you can, reach out to a neighbor, reach out to a friend, reach out to somebody that that you haven't reached out to in a while. And because you never know who's struggling. You never know who's needing the extra word of encouragement. So do good and be good.
Exactly. Another quick question, Doc. So with the test request, we get 4 tests per household. Are you hearing anything or getting any additional information about like a second phase of that? Like how long are they expecting those 4 tests to last before we need another run?
You know, I'm not entirely sure. I think all this is entirely dependent on supply chain. If they're not all claimed, that means there will be more available for okay. folks, and also the manufacturers as well. So I don't have a straightforward answer for you, but okay. We will know more soon.
All right, fingers crossed. They'll be ready to replenish us when we need them. Thanks a lot, Dot. Thank you so much. And thank you guys for listening. We will catch you on the next show.
Peace.
Peace. Thanks for tuning in to Ask a Black Doctor, airing every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. right here on The Numbers. If you missed it, you can find the link to the full episodes on our website at thenumbers.fm. You can also subscribe to the podcast on all streaming platforms. Be sure to rate and leave a comment. If you have questions you'd like answered on future episodes, you can submit them through our website or the link in our bio on Instagram and Twitter.